A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 Fit Talmud. Kesubas Ayin Aleph, Kesubas 71A, pagination is 141. We're going to start from the previous blot. So we're on Ayin Amad Aleph 70A, pagination 139, discussing the Mishnah that began the Perek. The first case of the Mishnah, which we discussed yesterday, was a case where a man makes an oath regarding his wife that she should not have any benefit from him. This is obviously a crisis in the marriage. And what we did for them was, as long as she's provided for 30 days, we were willing to tolerate this situation to give him time to speak it over with rabbinic advisement in order that he could annul the vow which he made, which is prohibiting her from benefiting from his assets. Again, as we discussed yesterday, Ya'amid Parnes, a person from his friends is going to end up supporting her, whatever she's missing, and he's going to have to work these issues out, hopefully, with the resolution of annulling the vow, Hataras Nedarim. The Mishnah continues with two cases where the man is described as having made a vow regarding his wife that she should not eat a certain fruit or that she should not adorn herself with certain types of adornments or perfumes. And right away, the question is, how can a person make a vow that's going to affect somebody else? I can't vow that you should not eat apples. It's not within my ability to make such a vow regarding somebody else. It's not going to be binding. And the explanation here is that he linked the prohibition to a vow which he does have the ability to make, which is that she should not benefit from his assets. So he made a vow that if she were to eat this fruit or adorn herself with this ornament, then she should be forbidden from benefiting from him. And even though he can't make a vow directly upon her, but he is making a vow that's going to affect her because she's going to be limited. She's not going to be able to eat that fruit or adorn in that way and still function as a person in the marriage. And therefore, that would be the case where the man made a vow that actually would affect and in some way be binding on his wife. Let's read the Mishnah with that understanding, and then we'll see the Gemara's objection. Fifth line of the Mishnah, Hamadir es ishto, a man who makes a vow affecting his wife, shalotitom echad mikal haperos, that she should not eat a certain fruit, yotziv yitin ksuba, he would be obligated immediately to give her a get and her ksuba if she wants out. We ask her. If she wants out, she's entitled right away. There's no waiting period. There's something very severe that happened over here. Likewise, if you skip three lines to the end of the line, Hamadir es ishto, a man makes a vow regarding his wife, shalotis kashet, that she should not adorn herself, be'echad mikol haminim, with whatever type of ornament it is, Rashi says, kenei bosem, some sort of perfume. Yotzi v'yitin ksuba, right away, if she wants out, you allow her, we force a get, and ksuba, she's entitled to full rights. He did something very severe over here in shattering the marriage. So again, we asked the question, how could a person make a vow on somebody else ever? And we said he orchestrated the vow in a way that she's not going to be able to benefit from him if she does these things. And that's how he managed to get this vow to be effective. The Gemara, though, wonders why we're taking such a strong stance and allowing her or encouraging the get right away. And that's the base understanding, that she can get a get right away. And we don't do this waiting period that we encountered on so many other occasions, either a 7-day waiting period or a 30-day waiting period, depending on what was prohibited, to give him time to fix it up. And based on this question, the Gemara maintains that what really was happening over here was not that he made the vow, but rather that she made the vow. And we know that there's a special rule that the husband is able to annul the vow of his wife, b'yom shamo. When he hears it, he can annul it. And this man did not annul it. In effect, he affirmed the vow that she made regarding the fruit or the ornament. And that, as we'll see, is so offensive in the relationship that she's entitled to a get immediately. Let's see the Gemara Ksubas Ayin Aleph 71a, about 8 lines above the wide. Tanan, we learned, Hamadiras Ishto. Person makes this vow, shalotitom echad mikol haperos, that she shouldn't eat whatever the fruit is, yotzi v'yitin ksuba, right away he should give her a get. She's entitled to a get. Skip 2 lines at the end of a line, hacha b'mayaskinan, what indeed is the case, kigon shenodra hi v'kayim la ihu. She made the vow, and he affirmed it. V'kosavar, and the logic over here is, hu nosein etzba bein shineha. He is putting her finger between her teeth. As Rashi says, by being mekayim the vow that she made, nosan etzba bein shineha vihishicha. He put her finger between her teeth and caused her to bite. And the mashal is beautiful. What she did by making this vow, which apparently people used to make vows, she was frustrated, she was angry, she had a reason, whatever it is, but she put her finger between her teeth. But unless you actually bite, nothing happens. And that's the situation of a vow made by a woman, because her husband can still annul it. He's supposed to be a stabilizing force in this situation, and he's supposed to realize that as much as she put herself in the situation, he's not supposed to affirm the situation. I'll give you a very practical example. When you're sitting around and a person says, oh, I'm so stupid, I made such a stupid mistake. So the people around are in effect being baited. Do you like the person? In which case you'll say, oh no, you're not so stupid, people make mistakes. But they're being baited. What would happen if they would say, oh yeah, you're real stupid? So that affirmation is extremely painful. It's one thing to say it about yourself, and it's an expression. When someone else affirms it, and now it's binding, it's been approved, that becomes very painful. So here it's becoming effective in actually a legal sense, because when she said it, it was not yet binding, because he could still annul it. But once he affirms it, then she's really in for it, and that's the offense that's going on over here. The Gemara elaborates a little bit stronger on Amud Beis. If you'll look about a third of the way down, the last word on the line is Hani. Hani mili, when were we able to impose a delay on the get, a waiting period? They should discuss it. Hecha da adra ihu, when he made the vow, de savra mirsach rosach ilavoi, because she figures he's angry, and in the heat of the moment he said something, Vahashtamosiv Daite, and now he'll calm down, he'll undo it, we'll go to a chacham, we'll work this out, we'll annul the vow, we'll realize it was a big mistake to say such things in the heat of the moment, and that the rabbis are angry with us for making such vows that infringe Aval Hacha. But over here, we don't give a waiting period, because Dinodra Ihi Vishasek La, because she made the vow, and he was quiet. Savra, and therefore she feels, Midi Ishtik, from his being quiet. He wasn't the one who was in the rage. He wasn't the one in the situation. And he was quiet. She expects him to be the stabilizing, supporting force in her life. And instead he was quiet. Oh, okay, if you don't want to eat apples anymore, he affirms it. Misnahu desanili, must be that he hates me. And once this dynamic is unleashed, if she's not comfortable remaining in the marriage, she's entitled to a get. It's a remarkable dynamic that even though she made the vow and he could be tempted to affirm, he's actually expected, demanded by the Gemara standard that he should be standing up for her benefit. And if she's saying something that's going to cause her pain, and you could assist her by annulling it, he's obligated to annul it and assist her. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.